When I say Hebrews chapter 11, you probably already know what it is. We have to have faith. Matter of fact, tonight, thank you, brother. Tonight you're here and you're saved. That is an example of your faith. You cannot be saved. You can't be a Christian without faith. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, and we'll be reading it, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. We've tried to figure everything in this world out as Christians, and then the world's trying to figure everything. We're trying to figure everything out God has wanted us to do, and then the world's trying to figure out everything that we're trying to do, and most of what the Lord tries to tell us to do, we say, Lord, that ain't making sense, and we try to give Him a better way, and then once in a while, we will be a little bit obedient and do something God wants us to do. And then the world's looking and say, well, I don't know what y'all are doing, but that ain't making sense. So the very fact that you're here tonight to the world's not making sense. They're home tired, and you're here tired, and they're at the house cooking supper, and you're here wanting to go home so you can eat supper. And so that's just a great exhibit of your faith, the fact that you're present on a Wednesday night. And I'm thankful. I appreciate you being here. You as a parent, you have children here, as a parent, you're doing something that you might not even realize you're doing. There's going to be a day that you're not going to be here no more. If the Lord doesn't come back before you pass on, and you're teaching your children that church is important. You're showing your children that your faith is so powerful that everything that this world has to offer comes not first. And I think it's a great thing. So let's read a couple of verses here. We'll read in Hebrews chapter 11. And verse number 5 and 6. The Bible said, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray you'd touch our hearts tonight and help us. I ask you, God, to give us the word you'd have said. God, use us for just a few moments to try to be a blessing to your people, a help and an encourager to your sheep. God, please, I ask you, God, to watch over these. Sister Pam's surgery next week. And God, then there's our folk that's been sick. I pray that you'd touch them. Sister Livian, Sister Barbara, and others. Lord, I pray for Kristen home tonight. God, getting so close to having this baby. God, that you'd touch her. And God, let her have some peace and rest for, God, just a little while. And God, pray for a safe and a wholesome delivery, God. We'll thank you and praise you, God. And for all that you do, touch our minds and touch our bodies. And help us for a little while here. And God, I just want to please you and encourage your people. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. As we look at this text, if you read anything in your Bible about Enoch, you know this. The life of Enoch sits in an unusual place in the book of Genesis. If you've read anything into the book of Genesis, you find out that in Genesis chapter number 3, God's dealt with man. Man has man has come to a place in his living where he has tried sin out. Amen. Now we've all blamed Adam for everything, but we're still doing what Adam did. We blamed Adam, and we said, you know what? I would have never done all this if Adam hadn't done it. And what Adam did was just tried out sin. And there might be somebody here tonight would say, amen, right here. Somewhere along your way, you tried out some sin. Might not have been what Adam tried. Might have been something different. But sin is sin. And a lot of times we get to thinking, well, you know, I ain't never stole nothing. Or I have never robbed a bank. And Barney Fife hadn't never tried to chase me down. And nothing like that. I hadn't never done any drugs. Hadn't never been drunk. I mean, there might be a whole list of things that you would say I've never done as a sinner, but yet all of the things that's listed up under the fruit of the Spirit might be things that you have went against. I'm going to say that again because I feel like it just kind of rolled out here to the end of the barrel and dropped right in front of me. There was a time whenever you could have been a blessing to somebody if you'd have been filled with the joy of the Lord. Let me say it like that. But your joy was gone. There might have been some times that you could have been a real witness about the peace of God, but you had no peace. We're getting somewhere now. There might have been some times that you could have been a great example of the meekness of Christ, but there was none. There was instead of a meekness, there might have been a harshness. And all these things are just as much sin as this fellow sitting on the street corner over here with a bottle of liquor in his hand. Amen. Let's go a little bit further here. Y'all clocking down on me for some reason. Let me say, it's just as much sin for you to sit in the house of God with the Lord Jesus Christ abiding in your heart, your soul, and act like you don't even care. God don't have to have you. You ain't doing Him a favor tonight by being here. Somebody help me right here. We're being obedient tonight by being in the house of God. God's not jumping up there going, oh boy, look at him. He's at church tonight. Amen. He's not all ecstatic because you're here, sister. Amen. Brother, the Lord has not called all the angels together to look down and give them a glimpse just because you darken the house of God. Amen. I'm saying tonight, we ought to be thankful, thank God, that God has given us something. I wish He'd help me be more faithful. I wish I wasn't the sloucher that I am. I wish I could do more for Him. I wish I could be more faithful, Brother Mike. I wish every time somebody would say, hey, why don't y'all close that on Sunday? I wish I'd say, have something godly and holy to say to them. Not that it would be of a rebuke, but it would be something that the Holy Ghost could use to prick their heart for their people. We look at this text right here, and we see how Enoch walked with God. Genesis chapter 3, we see Adam took sin upon himself. Adam gets to the place, Brother Gary, where literally now he's a fallen man. What a horrible state to be in. I mean, only 3 chapters in the Word of God, and here we are, man's already fallen. I look at that, and I think about that, and I think, wow, it didn't take long for man to get involved before man messed up. You know, listen. Listen, it don't take long around our house before man gets involved, before we mess up. It don't take long before man gets involved with anything he's doing on the job, at the house, in the church. Every time man gets involved in something, it messes up. That just proves one more time that we are incapable of carrying out the peace and the holiness of God like God would have. There was a problem until man, you know, just start other than whenever Satan fell from his place where he was at. But what I'm saying is, not in Genesis chapter 3, Adam. I got caught up in sin. Genesis chapter 4, we've seen a horrific situation that who'd have guessed it? Who'd have thought, Colton, that this would have ever happened? God has created one man, and from one man brought forth one woman. And you'd have thought for sure, Brother Gary, you'd have thought for sure. I mean, if they could ever be a happy home, wouldn't you have thought it would have been his and hers? Brother Rick, wouldn't you have thought that if anything could have been the picture of perfection, it would have been the home of Adam and Eve? Wouldn't you think? But you see back over there in chapter number 3, whenever Adam had sinned, and the Bible says, I believe it's in the book of Timothy, that he knew what he was doing, he willfully sinned because she had sinned. She blamed it on the devil, and then now she is. He knew what he was doing because he loved her so much. And they start with a little family. And boy, wouldn't you just think, man, the first mama, the first daddy, the first boy, the first child. This is the picture of perfection. Wouldn't you think, Brother Mike? Amen. How could it go wrong? Yeah. I mean, how could it have been out of sort? How could things have not just rolled down that straight and narrow highway? Adam's walking with God in the cool of the day, and he knows what God likes, and he's got a desire to talk to Him and please Him. But sin. And chapter 4, Cain rears up on that second child and kills him. A man sins in chapter 3 and murders committed in chapter 4. In chapter 6, there's a flood. And in chapter 5, there's an Enoch. I thought, wow, how unusual is that? I mean, here is what nobody would have expected. You put that in the school book, in the history books, and all the kids are going, they'll ask where they would have never asked a question. How many have ever been in school and the teacher said, and has everybody got a question? And nobody raised their hand. Nobody. I've seen missionaries come through here and give their presentation. They say, anybody got any questions? And nobody. I'd have to ask questions. Now it's not where I thank God for it, but I got where y'all ask questions. I appreciate that. That don't bother me. I'm glad you do. That encourages that missionary. But chapter 3, oh, wow. Then chapter 4, there's a murder. Then chapter 5, there's an evacuation. In chapter 6, there's a judgment. I'm not preaching. I'm just letting you know right now where Enoch was. So we can maybe look at verse 5 and 6 and explain some things out of that that would give some better understanding tonight. I'm sure you probably understand it, but I just enjoy talking about it. Don't you? I enjoy faith. Faith, Brother Charles. Can I tell you this? There's been a lot of things in this life that I've always wanted, and I never got to have it. A lot of things. I can name all kind of worldly goods that I would have liked to have had. And I know what you're saying. Well, you can finance it, and you can buy whatever you want. When you're younger, you think like that. When you're older, you're thinking, no, thank you. What was that? We went to the Chinese restaurant today, and on my fortune cookie, and I don't put a whole lot of trust in these, and I've never put my wealth on this because I don't have no wealth, okay?
But my fortune cookie said this. Young men think the old men are fools. The old men know the young men. You know what makes a young man a fool? Not listening to an old man. I always loved listening to old Brother Billy Kelly. Now, half of what he told was yarns. Everybody know what a yarn is? Half of what he told was yarns, but he sure made them sound mighty interested. I love listening to older preachers. I love listening to Brother. How many's ever listened to Brother David Gibbs preach? Wow. That guy he knows more stories. I don't know anybody in the Bible knows as many stories as he does. I mean and he knows how to use them and insert them to use them for the Lord. I love listening to them older men. Brother Leo. And as we look at this, we'll see there's something right here that God has given us that's free. But a lot of people think that faith is something that it's right here waiting on you to walk by. And when you walk by, now look at me now, and when you walk by, this faith is going to go and fall on your head. But it don't work like that. It don't work like that. So can you prove that? Absolutely. In this verse we're reading, we've already read it. It went right past you. You had McDonald's on your mind. Voted number one hamburger in the United States, the Big Mac. All right. The Whopper's second, and the Wendy's is last. I'm sorry. And anyway, I don't know who voted. I know who it wasn't. Faith is not something that's sitting on a tree branch waiting on you and I to walk up under. Faith is something that God has and God gives. He supplies it. But it's more, Brother Danny, it's more than just it being present somewhere and someone walking past one day and saying, and the wind blowing and goes, faith on them. That is more of a TV evangelical mentality, if you will. You can't breathe faith on me. I got bad news for you tonight. I hate to tell you this part. I can't breathe faith on you neither. Amen. Now faith breathes around my house. But I married her and I expect her to. Amen. I want you to notice four things. We're going to look at four things about faith that maybe I believe it might help you that we can look at. First off, there's a privilege in faith. Enoch was translated, and the reason he was translated was because he had faith. You know what the Bible says? By faith, Enoch was translated. What a privilege. You know, you don't think about it as a Christian, but God's blessed us with a lot of privileges. I mean, now we got more privileges. We can't even count them. The old song says, count your many blessings, name them one by one. It just might surprise you what the Lord has done. Amen. Me and Brother Chris was talking earlier. I called him last night when, but then I called him whenever we left the storage building. I said, Brother, if you don't mind, I'll hang on to your trailer here for a few days because we're going to be using it more. And, about 8:15, I think it was when I called house. And I called him and he answered the phone and he goes, hello. I said, oh, brother, I said, please tell me I didn't wake you up. Oh, yeah, you did. I said, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to wake you up. It's okay. He said, I can go right back to sleep. Let me tell you something. People of this world that are so troubled with the problems that this world possesses, they can't do that. That's a privilege to be at peace with God and be able to lay down. You say, well, I must not be right with God because I can't go to sleep at night. Well, pray, honey. That's all I can tell you. Just pray. Amen. Amen. L-M-N couldn't put, well, it does put me to sleep. Amen. I'm telling you. Listen, I lay down, I'm telling you, thank God, I've always been blessed with this ability, Brother Chris. Go to sleep. You can't do it. You need to pray too. The altars are open. All right. Sister Debbie, you're pointing at it now. I'm just trying to help you. I'm talking about the privilege of faith. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. We see now, we see that what a blessing, not just him being able to go to sleep. Listen, this world thinks you and I are crazy, friend. They think we've lost our mind because we go to church on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights and Sunday morning and then revival 5 nights, 6 nights out of the week. And I've camp meetings, I've been there, and in the morning time, people shows up. They think we're crazy. The people you work with think you're crazy for not wanting to go out and party and have a good time and drink and carouse around and cause problems within your life. I think you're crazy, but I'm telling you tonight, the privilege of faith that we have keeps our lives clean and holy before God, so that in the day that we stand before Him, all of the things that they're going to have to answer for, we don't. We don't. I say that's a privilege that God has given us just by having faith. Not only is it a privilege, but I want you to see this. There's a perplexity about faith. It don't make sense to a lot of people. They're puzzled. They're confused. They've done what they can. They've sought in this text. He said, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found. Somebody was looking for him. Somebody was searching. They said, where's Enoch at? The Bible said right there, and was not found. Can I tell you this? I believe it was that lost crowd looking for him. I believe it was them people that was not walking with God, that was not searching for God, just like today. Just like in the day, when the day comes that the rapture of the church takes place, they're going to be looking for folk. They don't know where they're going to be. They're not going to be able to explain that thing. And you know what they're going to do? We're not going to be found. Thank God. Thank God. But, hey, let me tell you something. Enoch was gone. And they were sinking. They were seeking. But he couldn't be found. You know the same way it was with Elijah? Second Kings. Let me flip over there and read that off. I'll say it wrong if I don't. Second Kings, chapter number 2. Remember how they was talking to Elijah? Elijah was gone. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 16. And they said unto him, behold now, there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master. Lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. That's the way the world thinks about us. They don't think nothing about us going to a heavenly home or being in a place of protection from God. They think that we're just, you know, just in the woods somewhere. He says, we're into some valley. He said, ye shall not sin. And when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, send. And they sent therefore 50 men, and they sought 3 days, but found him not. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Here are two people that's been looked for and can't be found. Well, there's a whole body of believers that one day they're going to be looked for and they're not going to be found. They're not going to be found. I say this, they'll do the best they can, but they won't be good enough. It won't satisfy their knowledge of this. And the Bible says this, because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. You know what you should have tonight? You should have a testimony that you and I please God. Amen. That's what the performance of faith does. It helps us to please God. Amen. I'm not looking to try to Well, not now, anyway, after 33 years. I don't try to impress my wife with great knowledge or strength or skills. And we shouldn't be trying to impress the world. But if we'll just walk with the Lord, that's enough. That's enough. The Bible said, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But what did he do? It don't matter. No, it wasn't something that had to be noted. It wasn't something that had to be listed. It wasn't something that had to be described. Whatever Enoch did in his life pleased God. Well, I have a hard time with that because I know, Brother Larry, everything I do don't please God. There's days that I'm sure I probably got him so frustrated he won't take me home, and it ain't because I've been walking with him. But wouldn't it be a blessing, Brother Mike, if that our life was close enough to God, if we focused on Him enough, if we walked close enough, that we pleased Him, and in our pleasing Him, it was enough for Him to take us home. Oftentimes we hear about folk getting sick and becoming ill and weary, and the next thing you know, they've gone home to be with the Lord. And boy, when it's our loved ones, it tears our heart out. Somebody say amen right there. We're all just human right there. We're human. And we're brokenhearted and we weep and we cry. But they're saved. Wow. Just imagine for a moment what they've just done. Wow. I mean, just to get to leave. I hear it. How many of y'all heard this from me? I'll bet you, I'm going to use my dad because he passed away in 1998 and I went home to be with the Lord. And so I'm going to use him for an example, okay? I've heard this over and over, and you probably have too. People saying, well, I bet you this. I bet my dad's in heaven just looking over the banister of heaven, just seeing what we're doing right here, just enjoying what's going on. Listen, friend, I'm going to tell you something. If there was one thing that would discourage heaven tonight, it would be for them to look over the edge of heaven. If they could find the edge of heaven, if they was tall enough to look over a wall of jasper and look down here and see this sin-cursed earth, I'm thinking the last thing they'd want to see, Brother Darnell, I'm thinking the last thing they'd want to see is what's going on down here. They don't want to see nothing about Mr. Hernandez, and they don't want to see nothing about Korea. They don't want to see nothing about a Russian ship. They don't want to see nothing about a Chinese boat. They don't want to see none of that stuff. They're in the presence of the King. They're worshiping the Lord. They're praising God. They're lifting Him up. They're singing new songs. I'm telling you, there ain't nothing about this place when we leave here that I'm going to want to come back for except when I'm riding behind Him. What a day. What a day that would be. What a day. What a day, Brother Danny, to see what He's going to do when that sword comes forth out of His mouth, when He conquers every foe that stands in His way. He might even just let the church sing, what a day that would be. Him, I don't know. I'm telling you right now, I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, what a day that'll be. Amen. I'm telling you, what a performance. What a performance your mind and your faith should be making in this world when we're living and working and walking beside people day after day, around them at school and around them at work. And if somebody, you work with somebody and they don't know you're a Christian, your faith ain't doing nothing. Nothing. Your neighbors don't know you're a Christian, your faith ain't doing nothing. This world's done all they could to persuade us. There ain't nothing more important than money. I'm telling you the love for money. No wonder the Bible says the love of money. Not money. I thank God for money. I wish I had more of it. I ain't gonna tell that story. But the love of money. There used to be an old song about that. If I could sing it, I might not would. Well, but that's all people thought about was money, money, money. They said it fast, didn't they, Brother Donnie? Fast. And literally wrote a song talking about what people would do, and how far life would go with it, and how soon they would die because of it. All but faith. But faith. Faith. Faith made me do some crazy things, I'm telling you. Faith. My faith. My faith, Brother Mike. Look, I've drove all the way to North Carolina. I'm talking about to the northeastern part of North Carolina for one service. One church service. Drove all the way and turned around and come home next day. Because of my faith. My faith, Brother Gary, has allowed me to see times when maybe somebody was in a dilemma in their life. Just a situation come about real bad for them. And we'll try to be a blessing to them. That's because of your faith. Your faith, for most of you, has got you helping the missionary somewhere on the mission field. Your faith is involved in other parts of the world, not just St. Mary's, Georgia. I'm talking about the performance. We talked about the privilege, and we talked about what a blessing it is by faith. And it was translated. And then we talked about the perplexity. They were puzzled. They couldn't figure out. They sought for where to go. But now we're talking about the performance, what your faith makes you do. If your faith don't make you do godly things, your faith ain't a godly faith. But I thank God for the faith that's in this church. And I thank God for the faith that God gives us. He gives us a measure of faith. I remember a few weeks back, Sister Pearl asked us, Brother Darnell, if we wanted some of them Japanese plums. I said, wow, them things are a blessing. You know what she said? She bought us a little bit. She said, now if you want some more, just say so. That's the way our faith is. When God give you a measure of faith, you want some more? Ask for it. Lord, would you give me more faith? And then a little bit more? Now be careful about asking for too much. I told my uncle the other day, I said, if you really want God to use you, why don't we just pray and ask God to break you? I said, because He ain't going to use you until He breaks you. He said, no, I'm not asking for that. I said, I'll pray and I'll ask God to break you. He said, are you crazy? Don't pray like that. That's exactly what He said. Ask Him. I didn't ask Him if He's crazy. I know He is. We see what this faith does. But then we see there's also verse number 6. We see that there's a prerequisite in faith. Something's got to take place before your faith gets to where your faith is being utilized as a Christian would utilize their faith. Something, that word prerequisite, it means essential. It's got to take place prior to. I didn't have much faith when I prayed and I asked God to save me. I had enough for that. I heard the preaching. And the preaching was enough that I got under conviction. And when I got under conviction, I said, hey, this is me He's talking about that's headed to hell. And so my knees wanted to automatically just go to bowing. And my mouth wanted to go to praying. And my heart was automatically believing. I mean, when all that took place all together simultaneously, It all worked together. And there I was. There I was with a heart that was wanting to believe in God and a mouth that wanted to confess that He was the Lord and knees that wanted to bow before Him. Sometimes we try to get the cart ahead of the horse. We'll talk to somebody about the Lord and make it sound real simple to them, and they're like, yeah. I believe with all my heart, young people can get saved. I believe that. When I say young people, I'm talking about children. Young children. I believe they can get saved. It made me nervous. I ain't going to tell a story. It made me nervous. So what do? Well, best way I know how, I lead them to the Lord. And pray that a parent will keep them in church. And if they didn't really get saved, maybe just got curious. You'd never believe how many children I have seen weeping and crying during an invitation because mom and daddy was weeping and crying. That's okay. There's no better place to weep and cry than in church. Huh? And maybe a year or two or three or four years down the road, Brother Mike, they come up and they say, you know what? I really didn't get saved, but I want to now. So what do you do then? Well, then you take your Bible. And most of the time, by that time, you don't even have to read them no scripture. They already know enough to quote back to you. Just let them get somewhere and just bow down and pray and ask God to save them. We've made Christianity so hard, haven't we? We tried to make it seem like, good night, man, if you don't get through a 10-step program, you didn't get it. You didn't get it. I know this, though. If it takes one step or two steps or 10 steps or whatever as many steps, when it comes time to trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior, I want to make sure beyond a shadow of a doubt I've got the real thing. The real thing. The real thing. The real thing. Whatever it is, I want it to be enough that'll bring me to church on a Sunday night and a Wednesday night and back on Sunday morning. Amen. Get me involved in it. Let me support a missionary if I can or help. If you've never supported a missionary, you ought to check this out. Check this out. I know a bunch of missionaries that need some financial help. Oh, man, they need some help. They need some help. They ain't got no money. They ain't got none either. By faith. By faith. Let me say this. If there's one place in this hour we live in, listen real close, if there's one place in this hour that we live in that I would say that there's someone that has the least amount of faith than anybody, you'd never guess probably who it is. You say, probably the preacher? Well, no, I don't like to think so. You know what it is? All over the land I see this. Country after city after city after city. You know who it is? It's churches. You know, churches used to have faith. They said, well, dear God, let's just do that. We'll take care of it. God will supply it. Not in this hour. You know what we're doing this hour? In this hour, because of a lack of faith on the church's part, we cut things. You say, but when the money don't come in, Brother Edward, what are you going to do then? Have you ever tried this here? This might work in your Christian life. If you never tried this, this might work for you if you'll try it one time, one good time. Be real sincere and try it one time. Pray. If we worked on our jobs like we pray, I wonder how many would be fired by the end of the week. I mean, if I showed up for work 5 days a week, you got to, they will replace you. But oftentimes, we don't even start the day off praying. If it wasn't for the old training of praying and asking the blessing over the food, most people would never pray. And that's something your grandma taught you, mama taught you, or some older person taught you. Just pray and pray and There's two things that are essential before faith does what faith is going to do. The Bible said in verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. You want to please Him? Increase your faith. You want to please the Lord? Ask God to help your faith get stronger. Stronger. Just stronger. Stronger. We think about Peter. Peter was the boisterous disciple. Peter was the one that always was vocal. Remember over there in Matthew, whenever the Lord come walking by and they all thought it was the Spirit. And Peter says, Lord, if it's You, bid me come. Nobody else did. I mean, Peter's got enough faith that he knows if the Lord says, Peter, come, that he can walk on water. That's faith. Let's don't throw no rocks at Peter now. Peter got out of the boat. I'm going to be honest with you. I wouldn't have got out of the boat. I wouldn't have. I've jumped out of boats too many times and sunk every time. Not one time have I ever got out of the boat and just zipped across the water. Peter says, Lord, if it's You, he knew that he had the power. And all he had to do was say so. And he could walk on water. Peter knew that about the Lord, but the Lord knew something, Brother Larry, about Peter. In Peter's Christian walk, with him trying to live for God and walk with the Lord, Peter's faith was weak. It was strong enough. Hear me well. It was strong enough to bring him to church on Wednesday night. But it was so weak that all it took was a boisterous wind. It was strong enough that he'd get out of the ship. But it was so weak, all it took was him to turn and take his eyes off the Savior. Right. 1 second. You know, Peter thought for sure the problem wasn't going to be with him walking on the water, wasn't going to be his faith. He just wanted to make sure it was the Savior. You know what we always say? How many of us have said it? Please help me right here. Lord willing, I'll be there. See you Wednesday night. Lord willing, I'll be there. You don't think He's willing? The Bible said, not forsaken, assembling yourselves together, as matter of some is, even so much more to see the day approaching.
Right.
You think He's willing?
Sure He is.
God's willing for us to live for Him.
Right.
But my faith has got to be strong enough. Not only that I can get out of the boat or get out of my daily routine or get out of my norm, get out of Waycross and still keep walking like I'm supposed to be walking. Real easy said. Not easy done. Peter didn't think the problem was his faith. His problem was he wasn't sure it was the Lord. You want me to give how much on that building thing? Is this the Lord talking to me? You want me to do what? I remember Brother Rick Drummond told me this one time. Brother Jones, I was talking about church, having faith, Brother Gary. Brother Drummond took that church, Lebanon Baptist Temple, is that right? He took Lebanon Baptist Temple after Brother Alan Jones resigned. Brother Jones had been there for I don't know how many years. 20 plus, 30 years maybe, I don't know. And they kind of reversed roles. Brother Jones was the pastor for all them years. Brother Ritt was an evangelist. And then Brother Rick took the church and Brother Jones went into evangelism whenever he resigned the church. Brother Jones told him one day, he said, Rick, he's just real outspoken, you know. If he called anybody brother, I'd be surprised. He said, Rick, he said, I probably need some tires on my car. Rick told him, he said, wait a minute. Get you some. He said, you're not going to have a truck buy me some tires? He said, Brother Jones, he said, I was in evangelism over 20 years, and not one time did you ever buy me a set of tires. You know what it'd be real good to do? In this growth of faith, it'd be good to be sensitive to what we do. Because we're going to come back on you. It might wait till you get to be really, really old. You know what older people fear more than anything? Being alone. Because they know if they ever have to go over to the nursing home, and I might have to myself, Brother Aubrey, wouldn't it be good that if I've made some friends, they might come see me once in a while? Very few does. You see, he wanted to please him. And last of all, he said he wanted to pursue him. He said he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You want to have faith like Enoch had? Look for him. Look for him. Tonight, you go home, look for him. Just look for things. Just look for signs. Just look for blessings. I'm not even talking about the rapture taking place. I'm just talking about just blessings that God gives you. Every day. Hear about the last Saturday I went and a fella called me, he said, I got an old washer and dryer, you come get it in heaven. I said, I'll go get it. I said, that's money on the ticket. Went and got it. I left there and I passed a little old sign that said yard sale. And I don't go to a lot of yard sales, but once in a while I might see one, I'll stop by there. And I got there just in time. Brother Larry, right in time. That man wanted to get rid of everything he had. He said, give me $20, you have everything here. I said, all you want me to do is clean up your yard. And he just laughed. He said, that's right. And I just looked around there a little bit, and I seen a couple of things, you know. I said, I'll give you $5 for this and that. And his wife said, sold. One of them things was a little old bicycle. Pedals, still got the spike sticking out, but most of the pedal part broke, all gone. Sits about this high. I put it in the back of the truck and took it home. That little, is he asleep? Cannon come over the house. He's seen that thing. He says, Pa, where did you get this bicycle? You'd have thought it was a trick. $1,000 bicycle. He rode that thing all over the yard. He said, Pa, this thing's awesome. $2.06. I said, Lord, I sure appreciate the little things you give me.
Amen. Amen.
Sometime I take a bottle of water with me when I'm fixing to leave. And I leave my truck. It'll get hot, Brother Gary. And you might not believe this, but I'm going to tell you anyway.
I ain't going to try to sound spiritual. I'm just going to tell you the truth. Today I was tasing stuff on the truck, and I had a little one of the small bottles of water. You know, those, what, 8 ounces, something like that. And I almost opened that thing up and poured the water out. I said, the grass could use this before I threw it in the trash can.
Amen.
And I don't know if it was me or the Holy Ghost. Amen. And you might have known, and I appreciate your great wisdom. But I'm just going to be honest, I don't know. But I thought about them folk in Africa. And the temperature of a bottle of water to them is irrelevant. It had been in my truck a couple of days, and I ain't got to tell you it was hot. I said, I wonder what it tastes like to them. So I said, I'm going to drink it. How can I know? How can I know, Jeremy? So I just turned that little bottle of hot water up and drank it. I thought, wow, it's satisfied. I wonder, have we taught our children that the little things aren't big things? If we have, it's because our faith has become a little thing. Enoch's faith was a big thing. Seventh from Adam. He walked with God and he was not, for God took him. All because of his great faith. That's it. He didn't kill a giant. He didn't build a boat. He didn't do any of those great miracles in the Bible. He didn't throw a stick down that turned into a snake, pick it up, turn back. He didn't do nothing. You know what he done? Just had faith. Just had faith. You know what that says to me and you? That we too can have the same faith that Enoch had. I can't do miracles, but I can have faith. Lord, you died for me. You love me. You paid my sin debt. I believe it, and I'm trusting in you, and I'm telling the world, it's my faith. It's my faith. Let's all stand together.